This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled Freedom from Sin, Pastor Scott speaks about how to break free from sin and how to stay free from sin. This message was recorded on Sunday, July 5th, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Hey, I'd like to welcome John. John, welcome back. Remember he went to Virginia for I don't know how many weeks to the FBI from Big Island Academy. He got to train with the leaders, and God answered our prayers. You're back safely. You look healthy. You're not malnutrition. You're not overweight. That means you took good care of yourself, and great to have you back. Hey, you know, this is my twice-a-year shirt, sorry, yeah, but I get to wear this on the 4th of July and Veterans Day. I bought this on the mainland because I seen somebody wearing this. I think Kirk was wearing this one time. And I said, wow, that is one cool shirt. So I had to go get me my own. And it's kind of patriotic, and that's why I get to wear it twice a year. But in the sense of being patriotic, and we celebrate the birth of our country. How old is our country? 200 and... Hey, who's that? Who said 230? Wally. Right on. Hey, you are right. Happy 239th birthday, America. And, last night I was watching American Sniper. Like, I didn't plan it, but it just turned out that way. And I thought, like, wow, the price that people paid for our freedom is just incredible. And being that, you know, we celebrate Independence Day, I don't know if you guys had Friday off. I didn't realize it was a holiday until I was working already, so... And then there was a lot of small businesses where my office is, and I told them, hey, it's a holiday. They look at me like, what holiday? And I guess if you have a small business, it's like that. What holiday? And being that we celebrate Independence Day, we got three people from our church that is serving. One, Ely just left for the Air Force Academy. We got Tony, who is in Camp Pendleton in San Diego. And we got KJ, who's someplace in the Middle East right now. And, you know, we really appreciate what these guys do to us. We pray for them. Yes, but there's something else we can do. And this came to me, you know, when I was thinking about it and I was praying, say, can we do this? I will get three, you know, those large flat rate boxes. And can we bring something next week and fill those three boxes? Then I'll give it to the parents, and they can send it to there. If you don't have the money to buy snacks, can you just write a letter? It's KJ, Tony, and Ely. And we'll send these care packages to them and let them know that their church back home loves them, is praying for them, and appreciates what they're doing. Can we do that as a family? Amen? Yes? Yeah, can we? Okay. So let's plan on doing that, and let's bring them next week. And then let's just, man, I think more than snacks, anything, a letter or a card would be really great, or even just a prayer for them. Amen? So, yeah, let's kind of do that as our church family so we can let these people know that how grateful we are. Man, I was watching that movie, and this is the second time I watched that movie, and I just thought, man, what a price to pay to go. And this guy went four tours, I believe, because he knew his job wasn't finished, and he just voluntarily went back and went back and went back, and finally... After so much, he said, man, I'm ready to come home. And not only did he suffer emotionally, but, man, could you imagine having to kill plenty of people just so that we can live free? You know, you heard that saying that freedom isn't free. Someone paid that price. You know, hundreds of thousands of men and women gave their life for our freedom. We celebrate Independence Day. But do we know what we celebrate it and why we celebrate? You know, we celebrate independence from the rule of the United Kingdom, Great Britain. And during that war, they say like 25,000 people lost their lives just so that we can break free from that British rule. And today, I mean, we enjoy so much freedom, and yet a lot of our brothers and sisters are still overseas fighting just so that we can stay free. They're fighting so that we can still come here and worship and freely, openly proclaim Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing. And, you know, although we may be free to worship the Lord, praise Him openly, if we got to stand on the street corner, we can do that. But yet, there's a battle within us, good and evil. We fight daily with the temptation to do good or not to do good. And I got to say this, okay? It's normal. If you battle with temptation, everybody does. If you don't, then check your pulse, because you might be dead. That's the only person I can understand that won't face temptation, if you're dead. Let me see. You guys all look alive. Maybe a little bit tired. I see you yawning, but you guys are alive. And Paul, that great apostle who wrote half the New Testament, that guy who started off with as like a really rotten guy, who beat up the Christians, who changed his life, who started poorly, and I like this because he started poorly, but he finished strong. A lot of the guys you read, they start strong, but they finish poor. But this guy started bad, and he finished strong. And I like what he says in Romans 7:19. I want to do what is good. How many of you want to do what is good? How many of you want to drive the speed limit? I want to drive 45, but I drive 49 and a half. You know, because they say you stay within that 5 miles, you're good. But that's still breaking the law, right, Lieutenant Brisky? That's still breaking the law. You know, I want to do what is good, but I don't do it. I don't want to do what is wrong. How many of you want to break the law? You guys not raising your hands because we have an officer in here. That's called wisdom. Because he got eyes in the back of his head. But I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. That sounds like a cop-out, kind of like a blame thing, but we'll go on. Paul is writing to the Romans, and he's struggling with the same thing you and I struggle with. But in the end, he comes to this conclusion in Romans 7:24 and 25. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Because we all know in Romans says the wages of sin is not life, right? Death. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, my flesh with the law of sin. So he comes to the conclusion that, man, thanks be to Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Because that's the guy who set us free. What is it worth to you to be free from sin? You ever, like, maybe most of you look like you guys are really good students in high school. But you ever, you know, like maybe in your high school years, you ever had a really, really bad report card and you hid it from your parents? I did. And I did as long as I could. And every single time they said, I got to talk to you. Oh, no, they found my report card. And it was such a heavy weight on me. Every little time I got to talk to you, it's like, oh, no, they found it. And it was such a weight. And when they finally got a hold of it, although the punishment was great, it was like, oh, I can go on living life again, even though I'm going to get lickings and cracks. Man, it's such a weight. You know, if you ever got caught in a lie, or if you ever smashed your parents' car when you wasn't supposed to be driving, and you know, it weighs on you until you're like, you know what? I smashed the car. You know, I did wrong. You're going to get the consequences, but, you know, it sets you so free. And it's like sin. Sin can get you in a place where you're so stuck and you're trapped and you're confined. A lot of you know my background. And when I was younger, man, you know, when I look back, it didn't seem like I was a slave to my sin, but when I look back, I can see like, wow, the things that I did really, really held me captive. I mean, the stuffs I did would determine whether I'd perform well at work or I would just do enough to get by. It determined how I would drive. It determined how and where I would spend my money, how I would treat my wife and children. It was so consuming. And sometimes if you're in that situation, you cannot really see it. But if you step away and you look from the outside in, man, I was such a captive to drugs, to alcohol, and to all that kind of stuff. And sin can cause us to do things that we don't want us to do. Like Paul said, you know, I don't want to do it, but I do it anyway. You know, think about it, man. Sometimes we may spend more than we make. And I've done that so many times in my younger life. I spend this much, and I make this much. And next thing you know, I'm paying my lenders. I'm paying and I'm paying and I'm paying and I'm paying that 17% interest. And that's all I do. I work to pay my bills, and then I have no money to go to vacations, to movies, or anything else. I've been there. I was a slave to my sin. And it wasn't a good feeling. And today I want us to learn how to break free. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we may become the righteousness of God in him. You know, Jesus became our, yours and my sin offering, so that you and I, man, we could now be right with God. You know what I mean? We could stand before God without the lightning going poof, and we'd be dust. Jesus Christ took care of that on the cross, so that we could be right. That we could break free from the grip that sin had. And we could show the world what this freedom is like. So this is really what happened. Number one, sin traps us. You may not think so, but realize this. If you look, if you step outside and you look really how the sin controls us, you will see it. Jesus answered them in John 8:34, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin." Man, the devil uses that sin to trap us. You ever had those cage rat traps? And you catch that rat that's been making trouble. Sometimes they like to crawl inside your engine compartment. Sometimes they chew your wires. They're a real pain in the butt. And then you can smell them when they leave their droppings. And when that thing is trapped in there, it is doomed. If it's at my house, it's going to die. You know, and if you can imagine, sin traps us like that. We're in a cage. Maybe you cannot see it, but it's true. It's in a cage. And the only way to get out is someone to push that lever, open the door, and let you out. Of course, I would not let that rat out. But imagine if you was that rat trapped in your sin. Jesus Christ did that with his death on the cross. He opened that door so that you can be free. You know, sin is, they say, it's kind of like it's missing the mark. It's the transgression of God's will. By doing what he doesn't want us to do, or by not doing what he requires us to do. Eh? So it's, sin is not doing what God asked you to do, and also doing what he doesn't want you to do. Okay, and the trap part, man, it's like you're in a cage. And there's only that one person, Jesus Christ, who can open that door. The thing is, I tell you what, sin is such a tricky thing. A lot of times when we sin, when we transgress, man, we'd like to pin it on somebody else. And we learned that in our men's ministry the other week in Genesis. Well, check Adam out. This is what he does in Genesis 3:11. They're in the Garden of Eden enjoying this thing, and then God comes down. He's visiting. He wants to be like, yeah, I'm going to check out Adam and Eve, see how they're doing. So he's walking around, and then Adam kind of hides, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave me to be with, she gave me from the tree, and I ate. Check that out. He sinned. And the first thing he does, how would you like that? First thing, he blamed God. Then he blamed the lady that was to be his companion. What do you think would have happened if he said, oh, man, oh, God, forgive me. I did eat. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I don't know if it would have been different. But, man, I blame you for putting gas in my car and the gas pedal. That's why I sped. Right? The car that you gave me. That nice Toyota Tacoma that you gave me, Lord, made me speed. Shoot. Well, I mean, that's what it's like. And he blamed God and blamed the woman instead of confessing and repenting. See that trap, man? And every time I read that story, I just get amazed. It makes me to realize that, you know, in this series we're going through, he poses a question to us guys as we're doing it. Are you taking responsibility for your life? Pause. Really? Oh, right there. I was like, I couldn't say maybe. I had to say no. Why? You should see my diet. I don't eat like a healthy, balanced diet. I mean, pizza is balanced because you got your four food groups, but I don't eat pizza for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm a meat person. I don't like too much salad, and I don't do the E word, the exercise thing, which the doctor tells me I need to do. So really, am I taking responsibility for my life? No. And if you really pose that question to yourself, are you? I mean, not really, because there's always something we can do to make sure we are drunk. So, you know, we cannot blame others for our shortcomings. We got to own up to it, and we got to confess it, and we got to deal with it. Okay? So how do you break free from sin? James 1:13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away, enticed by his own lust. You know, okay, God does not tempt. Okay, you understand that. I mean, he may test you, but the temptation comes from the devil. He cannot be tempted, and nor does he tempt anyone. And in 2 Timothy 2, now flee, it's not the stuff on a dog, all right? Not the stuff that bites you and you get all irritated, okay? Flee, run away, dig out from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with all those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. Be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance from leading to the knowledge of truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. I mean, so many years I can look at it. The devil used me to do his work. I mean, how many people I corrupted with my, come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's go do this. Let's go do this. You know, my feet was one of those, the Bible says, you know, running to evil. And I would bring people with me. And it was a snare. It was a trap. And I was stuck in that trap until finally one day I got fed up with life. I hated life. I was really miserable. I was disgusted. And I hated everything about my life. And then I remembered that there was this thing called God that I once recalled a long time ago. And I kind of went back. And that's when the light went on. It's like, shoot, this thing I'm doing is not good. You know, when Paul was writing this, you know, he wanted the people who were straying to kind of return to our right mindset. And I think when I was held by that snare, and I really wanted to do something about it, you know, I had to come back to a sober, a right mindset, you know, so that I could break free from this trap that I was in. And I had to flee from the stuff that I used to do. I mean, run, get away. And, you know, that was the beginning for that newfound freedom. And, you know, my mind was so clouded with sin and thoughts of evil and thoughts of getting high and all that stuff that my thinking was false, was foggy. But then when I, you know, changed my mind, repented, then the thinking became clear, and then I knew what to do. In Acts 2, now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, each of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." So in this part of Acts, Peter, he preaches his first sermon. You know, they're in that upper room, and Peter, the guy who's always putting his foot in his mouth and always saying the wrong things, the Holy Spirit comes upon him. He preaches his first sermon. And the people was like, wow, holy smokes, my life is screwed up. What I gotta do? What do I have to do? And he says, repent. Repent. You know, and be baptized. Man, it's like when we come to Jesus Christ and our thinking is cleared up, we get baptized and it's like, shoot, I cannot keep living this way. I'm a different person now. I cannot keep purposely living this life of sin. And then you understand and you start to break free. And I tell you one thing would help you to break free is if you make sure you hang around the right people, the people who will encourage you when you stumble, not the people who will condemn you. It's like, oh, boy, you did that. You're going to burn now. Not that kind. Like people who say, you know what? Let's go. Let's dust ourselves off and let's go. That's the kind of people you're going to hang around with. It's going to help you to stay, break free and stay free from sin. Amen. So how do we stay free from sin? Colossians 3:2. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Get this. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. What is on the earth? Wow, trouble and chaos and problems. Set your mind on heavenly things, godly things. You got to change your thinking. Galatians 5:1. So Christ has truly set you free. You got to understand that. Scott didn't set you free. You didn't set you free. Christ has set you free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again to the slavery of the law. Sometimes we come to Christ and then we might slip up. We might sin unintentionally. And then we beat ourselves up, or the devil beats us up, and we accept that. He tell you, no good, rotten, dirty sinner. You cannot show your face in church again. Shame on you. And we buy into that. And we don't come back. And that's what the devil wants. So we cannot let the devil, you know, you trip, you fall down. And sometimes it feels like the devil puts a foot on your back and go like, I got him, I got him, I got him. You got to knock him off and get up and move forward. Don't let him keep you down. Amen? We have this freedom from slavery to our sinful desires. You know, but that freedom came at a great price. We get to enjoy that freedom because Jesus has set us free. You know, I like this saying in Ecclesiastes, you know, two are better than one. Man, I like that because my friends helped me get up. They're the guys, you know, when Moses was, they was fighting and these two guys was holding up his arms, and every time his arms was up, they would win. He had two guys holding his arms up. And that's what that friend is like. They help you, for they can help each other succeed. How many of you want to succeed? How many of you want to succeed by yourself? It's like going fishing by myself and catching the biggest fish. But there's no one to enjoy that victory with. Really, it's just another fish. But when I fish with my friends and I catch fish, we get to share in the victory and we get to share in the fish. Right? I mean, if one falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Man, you go fishing, you fall off the cliff by yourself. That's it. See you later. See you in heaven. That's what I talked about last week. Friendship. Take the time to meet and make friends. 1 John 2. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. An advocate. Somebody who pleads for us. Somebody who stands up for us. Who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, who is truly righteous. God is pleading for you and for me to the Father. He's got our back. He's backing us up. You know, this Independence Day weekend, man, we got to celebrate the freedom that we have, that Christ gave us. the freedom that we have from being shackled by sin. Man, we get to celebrate not only the freedom we have in this country, but the freedom that we have from sin. And we cannot let sin keep us captive. And let our brothers and sisters come alongside you and give you a hand, pray for you, help you, because that's what we do best here. You know, we're not a church of 50 different programs for the singles, for the divorce, for the recovery. We're a church of friendship and encouragement and discipleship. We have a church culture of love and acceptance. That's what we do best here. And that's what I want you to be a part of. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Chiroma of New Hope Christian Fellowship, East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Keao, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeasthawaii.com.